Let's read together verses 13 through 18 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, in the second half of 1 Thessalonians 4, we have one of the great rapture passages of the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's begin our study of this important passage of Scripture with some background notes. When the Apostle Paul first visited Thessalonica on his second missionary journey, he did not have time to teach them everything. It's amazing how much he did teach them in the short time that he was with them. At most, the Apostle Paul was only at Thessalonica about 3 months, and during that time, he reasoned with the Jews in the synagogue for only 3 Sabbaths, as we read in Acts chapter 17. So many details of doctrine were not covered at that time. So after Paul left Thessalonica, some questions about the details of eschatology were raised by the Thessalonian believers. Eschatology is the doctrine of future things. One specific question that was raised was the following: what happens to believers who die before the Lord returns? Will they miss out on any of the blessings of the kingdom? Perhaps some Thessalonian believers had died since Paul had been there, and thus this question was raised. In any case, this is one of the reasons why Paul writes this first letter to the Thessalonians. He not only commends the believers for standing firm under persecution, but he answers these questions that have come up about the Lord's return. So here in the second half of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we have one of the great rapture passages of the New Testament. It answers the question of what happens to believers who die before the Lord's return. It also answers the question of what happens to believers who are living when the Lord returns. Look again at verses 13 and 14. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Sleep here is obviously used in a figurative sense for death, the idea that death is like peaceful sleep. However, sleep is only used in the New Testament for the believer's death, not for the unbeliever. What a comforting truth we have there in verse 14. That God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. When believers die, we sleep in Jesus, or through Jesus' sleep. These words could actually be translated, put to sleep by Jesus. So when a believer dies, you can think of it as being put to sleep by Jesus. What a blessed thought. Psalm 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, sleep is only used in reference to the believer's body, not for the soul or spirit. The Bible does not teach the idea of soul sleep for the believer at the time of death. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says that when believers die, they will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. There's no holding tank or purgatory or limbo or any kind of spirit or soul sleep. No. But what about the body that goes into the grave? And what about the time of the resurrection of the bodies of believers? Well, those questions, you see, are answered in the doctrine of the rapture. And that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points. So, doctrinal point number one, the rapture of the church is a controversial doctrine. The rapture of the church is a controversial doctrine. Did you know that all evangelical Christians do not believe in the rapture of the church out of this world? All Christians believe that Christ is going to return, but not all Christians are agreed as to the details. Those who don't believe in a special rapture of the church say the word rapture is not even in the Bible. Well, that's not quite true. The word rapture comes from the Latin word that's used to translate the verb here, caught up, in verse 17. So in that sense, it is in the Bible. In this letter, the truth of the rapture is being introduced for the first time in Scripture. Remember, 1 Thessalonians was written about AD 51, before 1 Corinthians, and before the Gospels. The rapture of the church is not in the Old Testament, except in type. For example, Enoch, we believe, is a type of the rapture of the church. Remember, Enoch was raptured out of this scene right before the flood of God's judgment. We believe that's a picture or type of the rapture of the church. But the rapture of the church is not in explicit detail there in the Old Testament. The rapture of the church is not part of our Lord's Olivet Discourse of the future, as recorded in the Gospels. You can find that in Matthew 24 and 25, or Mark 13, or Luke 21. The Lord's Olivet Discourse is about the coming tribulation period and the return of the Lord to set up his kingdom, not the catching up of believers to meet the Lord in the air. One shall be taken and one shall be left in Matthew 24 is not a rapture verse. Now, we do believe the Lord was referring to the rapture in John chapter 14 when he said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But the details of the doctrine of the rapture remain for the Apostle Paul to give us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So when Paul writes here in verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, he is indicating that the details of the doctrine of the rapture were given to him by revelation from the Lord himself. These details were not known before this time. But now the way you put together the details is not agreed upon by all Christians. In fact, there is substantial disagreement. That's why we hear all these words like premillennial, amillennial, postmillennial, pre-tribulational, mid-tribulational, post-tribulational, partial rapture, etc., etc. So the rapture of the church is a controversial doctrine. Doctrinal point number two. The rapture of the church is a comprehensive doctrine. The rapture of a church is a comprehensive doctrine. That is, it covers the details completely. There are no loose ends. The doctrine of the rapture enables us to draw our eschatological charts in detail, and we believe correctly. Verse 16 says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Now, whether we'll hear all three sounds distinctly, the shout of the Lord, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, it's hard to say. But I think we'll hear something. Maybe you heard about the practical joke that was played on an Emmaus student years ago. He fell asleep in class, and the instructor had the rest of class tiptoe out, and then one of the students blew a trumpet in the hallway. You can imagine the trauma of the sleeping student as he awoke. In any case, on a more serious note, at the rapture, the dead in Christ will rise first with their resurrection bodies. Then the Christians who are still alive will be changed and caught up to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. We believe the rapture of the church is the next event on God's eschatological chart. And it could come at any time, even today. Notice how the Apostle Paul expected the possibility of the rapture in his lifetime. Look at verses 16 and 17 once again. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Notice what Paul does not say. He does not say, verse 17, then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with us in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. No, he says, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. The Apostle Paul believed that the rapture could be at any time, not necessarily immediate, but certainly imminent. We believe the Bible teaches that the rapture of the church is imminent. That is, it could be at any time. There are no biblical prophecies that need to be fulfilled before the rapture can take place. Therefore, the tribulation period that's predicted for the future must be after the rapture. And we'll see that in chapter 5. That's why we say the rapture of the church is definitely pre-tribulational. So the rapture of the church is a comprehensive doctrine. Doctrine point number 3. The rapture of the church is a comforting doctrine. The rapture of the church is a comforting doctrine. Verse 17 and 18, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Did you ever wonder what you're going to be doing at the time of the rapture, since the Lord could come back at any time? I hope I'm doing something good and not bad-mouthing some driver that just cut me off. Is he in for a surprise in the next moment? You follow? It would be great to be reading the Bible or witnessing when the Lord comes back for his church. In any event, the rapture is a comforting doctrine. We will have resurrected bodies. We will not be floating around in space as spiritual jellyfish. We're going to have bodies. Resurrected bodies, which will not be subject to aging or sinning. How many are glad for that? What a wonderful truth. And think of it. We will meet our loved ones who have died in Christ before us. And best of all, we'll be with the Lord forever. The rapture of the church is a comforting doctrine. What about practical application? Remember, we don't sorrow as others sorrow. Remember, we don't sorrow as others sorrow. Verse 13, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. When a believer dies, we are sorrowful. It's not wrong to be sorrowful when a believer dies. You remember the Lord cried on the occasion of the death of Lazarus, and he was going to raise him shortly thereafter. But we do not sorrow as others sorrow who have no hope. Why? Because we know that believers who die are with the Lord. Their bodies are only asleep. We will all be together someday. We have hope. But outside of Christ, there is no hope. There is only sorrow. Let me ask you this morning, do you know the Lord? Do you have the hope of eternal life? I can't think of anything more sorrowful than getting old and facing death without the Lord. But death for the believer is but a stepping stone into eternal joy and happiness. So remember, we don't sorrow as others sorrow.